Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is taken from today's gospel, where the Pharisees are testing Jesus by asking him, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce and to send her away." And Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning, God created them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." So far the text. So this last week, I got an invitation in the mail for the mission church that I helped plant for their 25th anniversary, and time really flies. Of course, they sent it to me like 2 weeks ahead of time, but, you know, whatever. But it made me think a lot about that place and how, especially how beautiful it was there. If you just discount the mosquitoes and the ticks and the horseflies and the humidity and the heat. Other than that, it was great. And it was beautiful. There were lots of trees and woods and lakes, and it really was a nice area to be. Now, I mean, there were some bad spots. Like when I used to make all these house calls, I'd almost always pass this one house that's front yard was just a complete disaster. And I mean, there was broken toys over the on this area over here, and then there was, you know, car parts over here, and all the grass was torn up, and there were rocks sitting around. It was just a disaster. You've probably seen yards like that. But of course, all you had to wait for was the first snowfall. And you get about a half inch of snow, and it covered it up, and it just looked like a winter wonderland. All right. Now, you know, it looked beautiful if you didn't remember what was underneath. Now, a junkyard covered in snow is kind of the way I see the Pharisees, and especially their teachings on divorce. Now, this text probably seems a little abrupt, right? These guys just walk up to Jesus and say, divorce, right? It wasn't that abrupt. If you read Luke, Jesus was in this exact same area a little while before this. He was in the same area, probably arguing with the same Pharisees, and they even picked the same topic that he had argued with them before. Except now they're prepared. Okay, they're ready. And they have three intents using this against Jesus. Number one, they want to get Jesus in trouble with Herod Antipas, the king. The area this is in, and of course we kind of have to mix this with the Matthew account, it's an area called beyond the Jordan, and if that sounds familiar, that's where John the Baptist did his work. And if you remember, John the Baptist also talked about divorce, namely Herod Antipas's divorce, and it got his head cut off. And they're kind of hoping for the same for Jesus. Number two, their intent is to test Jesus and trip him up so that he looks foolish in front of the crowds, because daily the crowds around him are growing the closer he gets to Jerusalem. And number three, they want him to get involved in the controversy on the divorce laws. Back then there were two schools of thought that came from two separate rabbinical schools. One was called Shammai and one was called Hillel. Now, they differed in a lot of things, but one thing they agreed on is, even about divorce, they agreed that it was lawful. In other words, it was okay to do. And since it was lawful, it was good. Can you talk about missing the point of something? I mean, you know how many years many churches, especially in the Midwest and in Missouri and stuff like that, many churches I knew only had communion four times a year. And the reasoning behind that was they found a quote of Martin Luther, and he said, if a person takes communion less than four times a year, they shouldn't consider themselves a Christian. And of course, you know, being German, they latched on to, hey, he says four, so we should just go four times. Now, was that his point? No. He's supposed to take it all the time. He's saying that's the bare minimum. That's missing the point. And that's exactly what these Pharisees have done. They have completely missed the point. They think it's lawful, therefore they think it's good. The only thing they differed on were the grounds of divorce. So Jesus says to them, what does Moses say? And what basically they're quoting here, in a kind of condensed way, is Deuteronomy chapter 24. And I'll read this law to you. And by the way, you'll see that this law sounds a lot like the laws we have today. Kind of confusing. When a man takes a wife and marries her, and it happens that she finds no favor in his eyes because he has found some uncleanness in her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce, puts it in her hand, and sends her out of his house, when she has departed from his house and goes and becomes another man's wife, if the latter husband detests her and writes her a certificate of divorce, puts it in her hands, and sends her out of his house, or if the latter husband dies who took her to be his wife, then her former husband who divorced her husband must not take her back to be his wife after she has been defiled, for that is an abomination before the Lord. Boy, that takes a lot of figuring out, doesn't it? Why, he's just shooting all over the place there. But the real important part is right in the beginning. These two little clauses here. If she finds no favor in his eyes, because he's found some uncleanness. It's the uncleanness that's the real important one here. The Greek word for that in the Septuagint is porneo. That's where you get pornography, okay? Uncleanness. Now, the Shammai school of rabbis would say that uncleanness can only be adultery. But Hillel, anything could be uncleanness. It's all in the eye of the beholder, right? Your wife could even burn the food. Unclean. Divorce. And it says, you know, if she no longer finds favor in your eyes, some of them actually interpreted to say, so if you meet a girl who looks better than your wife, divorce, marry the good-looking one. That's how far they had taken it. So, this whole idea, Jesus just slams shut on this idea altogether. And he looks to an authority. And he doesn't look to the authority of tradition or these two rabbinical schools. He doesn't even look to Moses. He goes back to the original, goes to God, and he goes to the very beginning, and he talks about the nature and the purpose of marriage. There's a man and a woman. God has created them both. He brings them together. The two become one, and let them never be made separate. And what do they say? If you read this and the Matthew account, you hear that they say, yeah, but Moses commanded us to do it. And Jesus said, Moses never commanded you to do it. Look in the Old Testament and you find anywhere where God is commanding people to get divorced. It doesn't exist. Divorce, even when it's necessary in this life, is a horrible thing. It destroys relationships, it breaks people's lives, children, adults, friends, family, everything falls apart. I've never met anyone to this day who said, at the end of a divorce proceeding, said, wow, that was fun, I can't wait to do that again. Doesn't happen. And so Jesus says, no, Moses didn't command it, he tolerated it. And he says, because of the hardness of your heart. And I don't think by your, he's referring to the ancient Israelites. I think he's pointing right at the Pharisees and he's saying, because of the hardness of your heart, he has given you the ability to do this. The Pharisees seemed very conservative, okay? They kept themselves separate from other people. They did all these wonderful rituals and everything. And yet, in actual, the way they lived day to day and the way they taught, they became very liberal about things. I've often wondered, all these years reading the Gospels, why people were influenced by the Pharisees. Nobody really liked them. I mean, they were know-it-alls. They kept in public showing how much better they were than everybody else. So why did were people influenced so deeply by them? I think there's one really good reason, and that is that these Pharisees, in their teachings, validated the sins that they wanted to do. For example, back then, the Jewish people hated Gentiles. And the Pharisees said, good, you should. Validating hate. How about the sin of not caring for one another? Jesus even brought this example up. He says, you know, The Bible says you're supposed to honor your father and mother, right? And yet you say you don't have to care for your father and mother financially when they're old and can't help themselves. As long as you give the money to the temple, everything's fine. Validating breaking that commandment. And finally, with their divorce laws, they're validating a horrible thing. I mean, let's face it here. It's not like you divorced and everything was fine. They assumed that you had to get remarried. Because if you just divorced a woman back then, she either starved to death or she turned to prostitution, one or the other. And so even with this, they're espousing sin. They're saying, as long as you can find that uncleanness, whatever you think it is, that loophole, then write the certificate of divorce, get it in triplicate, turn it in, we'll stamp it, and now you're holy. And Jesus says, no. That's not the answer. That's not the hope. And it certainly can't be the salvation. Because the answer is false. And the end consolation here is not hope, it's hopelessness. And it certainly does not end with salvation or it end up with God. I think the key to this entire passage is found in the context of Mark chapter 10 and Matthew chapter 18, where Jesus talks about this. In Mark chapter 10, the context on either end of it, right, is Jesus bringing a child before them. And he says, you must accept a child like this. You need to humble yourself and you need to serve others. So being humble and serving others, that's a good thing for a marriage. In Matthew chapter 18, as he talks about divorce there, what's the whole thing bracketed by? A huge parable that's all about the importance of forgiving one another. That's an important part about marriage. So God is saying, basically, the answer to a sinful world is what I have to tell you. And the hope for a sinful world and for people who have been damaged so much by the consequences of sin, one of which is our broken relationships, that answer and that hope is Jesus Christ. As we see him these last weeks and the weeks following, he's going to be coming to people and reaching out to them because they're like sheep without a shepherd. Because their shepherds are doing what? They're leading them astray. They're leading them to sin. They're leading them to suffer more and think they're doing good in doing it. But Jesus speaks the truth, and he leads them in truth. And eventually Jesus will give his life on a cross to forgive our sin. We live in a broken world. There's no getting around that. And there are certainly times where people get divorced in this world. And there's no getting around that. Abuse, adultery, broken trust, all these things. It's never good. It's not like you can find a good way to do it. The good news is Jesus Christ has made a relationship with us. And he says that's a relationship that will never be broken. Even as he said in Hebrews chapter 13, I will never leave you. And I will never forsake you. In Jesus' name, amen.